Been carefully considering who we are as members of the church. And when I say church, it's capital C, big church, not just this one. Basically, by faith in Jesus Christ, we, the people of the church, are four things, or at least four things. And in the passage we've been looking at in 1 Peter chapter 2, we've considered a chosen people. We have been hand-selected by God. We have been picked out one at a time and lifted up for a purpose. We are a royal priesthood, serving and ministering for God. We have been launched by God into the world to serve as His ambassadors, ambassadors for heaven. And we are a holy nation, reflecting God to those around us. We have this high calling in Jesus Christ to bring holiness to an unholy world. And this is very important, we are not just a random collection of people, this one and this one and this one, but we are God's people. And that is amazing. In Jesus Christ, we have a mission. We have a mission to be other than the ways of the world so that we might model holiness and influence those who are not in Christ such that they might turn or lean toward Him. Go and make disciples. In Jesus Christ, we have an identity. We are the called and sent ones of Jesus. We are called by His name and we are sent with His power. And we are called to be other than so that we might inspire change. That we are unlike the world enough to challenge the way it is. And this is what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this is the verse we have been playing with. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. And the imagery in that verse is beautiful, that we lived in darkness and we were drawn out of that darkness into the light. And then given these four descriptives, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and this morning as we prepare to observe communion, we're going to look at this fourth descriptive that Peter used to describe the children of God, to describe you and me. We are a people belonging to God. That's the NIV, a people belonging to God. That phrase, belonging to. Listen to a few other translations. God's own special people, His special treasures, His treasured possessions, a people for His possession. That's the most literal from the original language, a people for His possession. But the phrase, belonging to, that those two words, they have heavy implications for us. And I want to focus on two of those this morning, this belonging to. First is the idea of possession. The idea that something or someone belongs to someone, is their thing, is their person. Now, you and I are very familiar with the negative of that. Slavery, human trafficking. There's even an article in the paper this morning about that and some bills against that. Even gross jealousy. But there's also the positive that goes with the idea of belonging to. We might have a special thing, my pet, my favorite toy, my car. We have favorite things that belong to us. And sometimes we have people, special people that belong to us, my wife, my kids, my friends. And we understand that concept. But there's also this other heavy implication that comes out of this phrase belonging to, and it's the idea of control or influence. And the idea that the possessor, and I need you to know that I've used that word possessor very, very carefully. And I must have had a dozen words there instead of the word possessor as I was preparing to explain this to you this morning. But there is this element of control or influence when something belongs to you. And so I chose the word possessor. And the idea here is that the possessor has control over that which is his or her possession. Now, slavery would be a negative use of that. It would be a negative control, but love would be a positive influence over another. And it's interesting in our relationship with God, He takes both that negative and the positive, and He makes a beautiful thing out of it. As we surrender our lives to Him, we become His slaves. But we're slaves in a love relationship where that slavery is only about the best for us. Now, as I think about belonging to and knowing enough people as I do, I've recognized that we have funny ways of using that idea. The idea that something or someone might be ours, we offer that sometimes in ways that if you're actually paying attention to it, you might chuckle. And I know in our house, when Carol says to me, and she's usually handing me her cell phone, she says, "Your daughter is on the phone," I almost always know I'm not going to enjoy the conversation that's going to follow when I take the phone out of her hand. And those of you who have dogs probably know that when your neighbor steps into your yard and says, "Your dog just," well, you probably already know that something negative is going to be said. And we often offend others with my or mine or our or ours, because when we do that, we're setting boundaries beyond which they're not allowed. This is my yard. This is my dinner. I don't want people poking at my plate with their fork. And the idea of no trespassing, though it has in it, inherently in it, the idea I'm protecting what is mine, as it's doing that, it's also isolating and separating. I don't want you here. And I know around here, right before deer season, a lot of people run around and they put up brand new signs because they were faded from last year. They don't want people shooting up their woods and their fields. Stay out. And every parent works from almost the beginning to train their children away from the idea of mine, that's mine, mine. And I don't know where they learn that. Maybe they come wired because of their brokenness. But we have that mind mentality, and we try to teach them the much healthier idea of sharing their things. And yet, don't we do that as adults? That's mine. Where's my pen? Or whatever it is. And as Christians, as believers, as the saved, as Christ followers, whatever word or phrase you want to use, we are the object of God's possession. That's what Peter is saying here. He says, "You are mine. You belong to me." Now, I don't know how you feel about belonging to someone or being owned by someone, but in God's case, it's always a good thing. We see this in the Old Testament. In Exodus chapter 19, we read in verses 5 and 6, "Now if you," that would be Israel, "obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. And although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Deuteronomy chapter 14, "For you, Israel, are a holy people to the Lord your God. And out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession." And in Malachi chapter 3, we read, "On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, Israel will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him." Israel was, Israel is God's chosen people. Each person under that umbrella of being part of Israel is his special possession. And when we turn that last page of the Old Testament and begin in the New Testament with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and start reading through, we recognize that same idea has flowed into the New Testament, only now it's about you and me and our relationship with Jesus Christ, how we fit into His kingdom and into His church. And we read some beautiful, beautiful passages. Jesus is praying about us. We're in the upper room in John 17, and He makes a couple of statements. Father, I want those You have given Me, Mine. I want Mine to be with Me where I am, to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me. In that same prayer, verse 9, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, Mine, for they are Yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 or chapter 3 verse 23, you are of Christ, you are His, and Christ is of God, He is His. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14, the Holy Spirit is a deposit. He is placed within us, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, His belonging to the praise of His glory. Now, let's stop there for a moment. How do you feel about all that? That you belong to. That you belong to God. You are not your own anymore. Having been washed by the blood of Christ, you belong to God. Do you feel safe? You are His child and you are under His protection. Do you feel warm? You are His child. You have been wrapped with His Holy Spirit. Do you feel confident? You are a child of the King of Kings. And perhaps you feel empowered. You are a child of Creator God. This concept, this belonging to, it might ruffle our feathers. It might challenge us as we think about the fact that I'm not mine. That there are expectations on me, that there are demands on me, and they come from the God of the universe. And though we might ruffle from it, we need to realize that this is a theological construct that is easily drawn out of the Scriptures. This is not me trying to make something here. This is the reality. We belong to God. We are His possession. Now, belonging to. We need to know, though, that this belonging to is deeper than how we feel about it. And I know I asked you how you feel about it, because sometimes how we feel about something determines how we're going to respond to it or how we're going to actually flesh it out in our daily lives. And if we're uncomfortable belonging to God, we might have already built in a hurdle for obeying God. So let me explain to you that this feeling is deeper than feelings. It's a soul matter. As God's possession, we come under His healing and under His empowering. And that's easy for us to see, because when He finds us, we are broken, we are damaged, we are caught in our sin. We are part of the dark world out of which He calls us into the light that surrounds Him and is spreading out from Him as His kingdom is expanding. And we need healing. We need empowering to live a different kind of life. And as we think about where we are today, from the moment we ask Jesus to be our Savior, we might honestly say, I'm not what I might be. But hopefully we can say, I'm not what I once was. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. If we are in Christ, we are brand new. We are not old things with fresh paint, but He has declared us to be brand new. And He has made that possible from the inside by placing His Spirit in us. Now, many of us, even this distance from our lostness, might say, well, there's still a lot of ugliness in me. There's still a lot of brokenness in me. And that's right, because what he declares becomes a reality in our daily lives, something that we can measure as we follow the path that's painted for us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." If we are indeed in Christ, this ought to be our response. A turning over of more and more of our lives, the surrendering of more and more of ourselves to the one who is rescuing us. And in the process of doing that, we will recognize in our daily reality the thing he has already declared, that we are his, that we are his special possession, that we are indeed brand new, belonging to. It's an amazing idea. And as you think about belonging to, you might think, wow, this is probably something we ought to celebrate. We should have a party around the idea that we belong to the God of the universe, Creator God, Almighty God, the loving God, the healing God, the empowering God, the God that misses nothing and has everything for us. And we do. Each time we come to the table, we celebrate belonging to. Because in these elements are hidden or revealed all of the beauty of our relationship with our possessor. We are his because of his blood. We are his because of his body. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and in the passage, he was writing to correct some behaviors. But he lays out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, communion. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Two emblems, two very common things off the table where Jesus met with his disciples when he first offered these symbols. He took bread off the table. He took broken bread, and he said this would symbolize his body. He hung in our place to address our sins. He was broken for our sins. And the cup symbolizes his blood. He offered his blood to seal a covenant. And it's not a complicated covenant. It's a I love you promise. And he loved us enough to die for us. He gave his blood. This morning, ours is an open table. It's for any who know Jesus as their Savior and who can deal with their sins before they partake of the elements. And that's important, that we listen to God about our sins and confess them. For in that same passage, the Apostle Paul wrote the following words, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, have died. We do well to prepare our hearts to partake of the elements of the table, to celebrate his death, death for us in our place. One of the ways we can prepare is prayer. We need to be chatting with Jesus as we anticipate, as we prepare our hearts to partake of the elements. We ought to be praying for ourselves. We ought to be asking His Holy Spirit to prompt us to highlight those sins that we need to be confessing. And we ought to do that. We could also be praying for those around us, our pew neighbors, as it were, praying for them that God would truly bless them in this moment. And then we ought to be praying as worship, as we lift our praises to the One who makes all this possible for us. He planned, He carried out the cross, the empty tomb, these elements, our calling, the declaration that we are His. We ought to praise Him for those many things. This morning we'll partake together. The ushers will bring you the elements, and I would ask you to please hold the element and we will partake together. And when you're done with your cups, there are baggies along the center aisles for you to collect them across the pews, and just leave the baggie on the pew. At this time, I invite the ushers to come and join me. The evening Christ was betrayed and arrested, as He had met with His disciples in the upper room, as they had than partaking of a Passover feast, remembering God's deliverance of the people. He took elements off the table, bread and the cup. He took the bread and he offered it as a symbol of his broken body. He said, take and eat in remembrance of his sacrifice. Take and eat. In that same moment, as Jesus had guided his disciples to use the bread to remind themselves and us today of his sacrifice, he also took the cup and he said, this is seal a new covenant, love. Take and drink in remembrance of him. Will you pray with me, please? Father, this morning as we have considered being your special possession, your treasured people, and then as we've celebrated being yours through the communion elements. Father, we have found this to be a healing place as we have been cleansed of sin, a place of renewal as we have actually recommitted ourselves to you, as we pledged before those around us through partaking. Father, we ask now that you'd send us to be your people among those who need to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we continue to sing, would you please stand if you're able?